And welcome to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is Dr. Mike Roizen, and you're listening to Podcast 811, released 10/25/16 at 7 a.m. We always release them Tuesday at 7 a.m. You can rate us, which we hope you do, as well as like us, which we hope you do, or unlike us, whatever you like to do to rate us fairly. And if you want to send me suggestions for questions or comments, or even suggestions for guests, you can do that at udocs@gmail.com. Just put in the subject line, question or suggestion for Dr. Mike, and that'll get to me. We're talking, and by the way, our guests this hour will be George Lynn and Cynthia Johnson, Breaking the Trance, A Practical Guide for Parenting the Screen-Dependent Child. It's published by Central Recovery Press. Central Recovery, I guess it fits with the screen-dependent or addicted child. And we'll talk about the statistics on screen dependency, but more importantly, how to break it if your child has it. This is, as I said, Podcast 811. 810, we had a wonderful guest. 810 was about, from Sarah Gray, A Life Everlasting, the extraordinary story of one boy's gift to medical science as he donated his retina, his cornea, his liver, and his blood, and the extraordinary and unusual events. You'll want to listen to Podcast 810 if you haven't already. Earlier this month, we've had a wonderful set of guests. I like the guests on any subject, if it's a medical nerd subject, because I am a medical nerd. I love to read medical stories. And the guests earlier, if you will, Podcast 809, The Power of When, Discover Your Chronotrope, and the Best Time to Eat Lunch, to Ask for a Raise, to Have Sex, or Write a Novel. That was with Dr. Michael Bruce. 808 was with Dr. Amy Myers. Do you feel tired? Well, she has the solution, because she is the best-selling author of The Thyroid Connection. She really does a great job talking about thyroid disease. And Podcast 807 was with cancer survivor Andrea Hertzberg. September was Ovarian Cancer Month, and she led off Podcast 807 with stories about that. But let's now talk about the top news of the week, and it really is really important news. The first story is one that I've got to tell you I have a familiar connection with. I'd say it is something that is, my daughter-in-law did this research at Penn, and it was really impressive in the sense that she looked at why, well, she was initially to identify viruses quickly. That was the goal, for example, for Ebola or Zika, rather than wait 2 days for it to go to a lab and do it, or even 5 hours if you had that lab right there. It's a one-hour test that she developed, less than an hour, matter of fact, brilliantly. But she did it, as she says, it came so fast that they did it in 2 months. This was her PhD thesis, but she did it in 2 months. So she set about another topic in addition. That one was to see why and whether intermittent dosing of cancer patients versus continuous dosing was better. And what they found was that if you continually dose, if you keep people dosed on cancer chemotherapy, the genes that are resistant gradually become more prominent and live forever. Whereas if you do intermittent dosing, they never get a chance. So that's why Vince DeVita, in the early days of cancer chemotherapy, started out with intermittent dosing. They probably didn't have enough drug, but Vince DeVita brilliantly did this, of the intermittent dosing, hitting the tumor with 3 drugs at once, cancer chemotherapy combinations. But in periodic rather than having continuous dosing, those were new things that Vince DeVita did. And I got to tell you, my daughter-in-law just proved why it works. It works because the continuous dosing gets to select out genes. That is, the tumor has different genes in it And we didn't know that. We thought the tumors were all uniform, but they have different genes in them. Different cells have different genes, and it twists them and turns them to get to the ones that are most resistant over time, and they gradually become a little more resistant, a little more resistant, a little more resistant, and then they break through. And that was the discovery. So intermittent dosing, that's why we really do intermittent dosing, and it's better for you. Another top story this week. So thank Sydney Schaefer for doing that work. Another top story this week. Yes, she did get her PhD awarded, too. Another, or defended successfully, the actual degree isn't in her hand. Another top story this week. CoQ10, giving it 300 milligrams a day, decreased inflammation after major liver cancer surgery. What does this mean? Well, maybe this CoQ10, which is part of the energy chain. We talked about that in podcast 810. We talked about your mitochondria and getting defects in the mitochondria from too many reactive oxygen species. Well, it turns out CoQ10 decreases inflammation in general after liver cancer surgery. So maybe this is a breakthrough. Maybe CoQ10, which seems to help you feel less tired in some situations and treat type 2 diabetes and hypertension and even Parkinson's disease, well, maybe it does something also, and maybe it does all of these by decreasing inflammation in your body. So that is the two of the great stories. That's the well, that is actually the Well Beyond Wellness story. The Wellness Foreplay was the intermittent or continuous dosing. Now, can you blame your headaches on thyroid disease? Yeah, maybe too low a thyroid is associated with increased migraine headaches. But there was another story this week. High levels of T4 were associated with the development of cancer, a doubling of cancer risk. What does it mean? I don't think we know. What we do know is that the people with thyroid disorders, low thyroid function, had an increased incidence of headaches. People with high thyroid function, in a totally different study, had a doubling of the risk of lung and breast cancer. We don't know what it all means, but it does mean that if you are got a high thyroid level, that is, you're taking Synthroid and you get a high level, it was specifically with Synthroid and a high level, it stimulated the expression of a gene. And we seem to be stimulating genes, eh? And getting that epigenetic effect that caused an increase in cancers. By the way, another story this week is there a difference between farm-raised and wild blueberries? And the answer, I was really surprised. What do you think? Which is more nutritious, wild or farm-raised blueberries? And it turns out, found that blueberries have some of the highest antioxidant values commonly of fresh fruit, that we knew, but that wild blueberries, pound for pound or gram for gram, were twice as effective at the antioxidant production inside the cell. Remember we said inside the cell there are only three antioxidants, glutathione, catalase, and SOD? Well, inside the cell, wild blueberries were much better than farm-raised blueberries. So that's another one of the great stories. Now, the last of the stories we're going to tell and the last of the medical stories before we're going to talk about the book of the week on screen dependency, that is called Breaking the Trance. We'll be up there in a couple minutes. But before we talk about that, society and superbugs, losing one of the most serious infectious disease, losing to cause one of the most serious infectious disease threats of our time. That's right, antibiotics have been battling bacteria and saving lives since the 1940s and the first penicillin. But forward several decades to now, actually it's more than several, it's maybe 10 decades to now or 8 decades, the war is changing. The CDC showed that superbugs cause infection in at least 2 million people in the United States each year and kill 23,000. In other parts of the world, there are bacteria that are resistant to all known antibiotics. And what causes antibiotic resistance is that same problem. If you give a little bit of antibiotics, you tilt the genes towards being resistant to them, and they develop it more and more over time. I guess that's the same as we see with cancer chemotherapy. Well, this is with antibiotics. So antibiotics that fight bacterial infections become less and less effective. They're clearly not effective against viruses, and as we use them in animal agriculture, more and more do we get the resistance, and more will we be threatened. What's the real threat? That's right, biologic warfare using these antibac-resistant bacteria, spreading them in a community or using them in a bomb form, if you will, could really be decimate the rest of us. And that's a serious issue. Well, let's get back to our book of the week, if you will, the podcast 811, George Lynn and Cynthia Johnson, Breaking the Trance. We'll be right back with that story.